You know, that last hymn that was sung, He Touched Me, a beautiful gospel hymn that was written about 45, 50 years ago, is so powerful and so such a reminder to me in the midst of my scatteredness, as Elsie said, to simply stop and allow the Holy Spirit to fill me with the touch of Jesus. And how badly do all of us need it? I know last week I committed to no more complaining, and I really didn't complain. It was awesome, and I invite you to do that, because when I realized the biggest problem was me, I realized it was my complaining about COVID and how frustrated I was about so many things. But you know, it applies to more than just that. When it comes to your faith walk, maybe you're probably like me. Your biggest opponent in your faith walk with Jesus isn't something out there, isn't somebody being tough on you. Your biggest opponent to your faith walk is you. My biggest opponent is me. Your biggest problem, perhaps, is believing a lie that we need to repent of. A lie that you're not good enough, that you're not shaped well enough, that you're not spiritual enough for God to love you, or for God to work in you, or for God to heal you, or for God to work through you. That you're not changed enough when you came to faith in Jesus, enough to do anything specific for God. And that leaves us as Christ followers perpetually frustrated. I'm here to tell you, if that is you, if those thoughts are your thoughts, you're wrong. How's that for encouragement? And so am I. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch us today, that you would touch all of us by the power of your Spirit, that you would fill us from low pressure like the wind into overflowing in our lives like the water. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, it's quiz show time, and there's a couple of people with me in the sanctuary, masked up, most of them. Here's the quiz. What do these things have in common? A cushion. A heart. A princess. A pear. Anybody? I'll keep going. An oval. Anybody? Radiant. If you are online, please text the answer. The people in this room are not getting this. A marquee. Anybody? I heard it. Diamond, Steve Bringardner, give that man a dollar. You could also add emerald and the most common shape, round. All shapes of diamonds. My goal today is that you would see how incredibly valuable you are to God. More precious than gold, more precious than silver, as Scripture says. But that you are a gem in God's eyes. You are a diamond to Him, whatever your shape. You have been shaped for serving Jesus. God says through the prophet Isaiah, I have shaped my people to bring my praise. You are shaped for serving Jesus just as you are. There are no second-class citizens, there are no strangers, there are no outsiders, there are no favorites in serving God. Your job is to shine so that everyone who knows you would see God's peace, would see His forgiveness, would see the salvation, the love, the power that comes from God's Holy Spirit. All in the midst of COVID, online school, figuring out what do we do with our kids, and shutdowns, in the threat of economy, in the threat of politics, in the threat of division, which are not new threats. Your job is to shine in the shape God has given you in order that others would see his light. You know, I get tired of people who get out their big cookie cutter and go, well, that's what a Christian's supposed to be. And if you don't fit that mold, then you just aren't good enough. And there's a lot of judgmental Christians that say that, but there's also a lot of us who say that to ourselves. The big problem is day in and day out. We're running around with our cookie cutter thinking we know what a Christian is when there's all this extra dough left over, some of which is ours, is us, is who we are, and saying, no, God can't use my shape because it doesn't fit this mental image I have of a cookie cutter Christian. This is not a minor topic. You are shaped for ministry. And it's funny that some of you are hugely successful in other areas of your lives. In corporate America, in family life, in relationships, in artistry. You're hugely successful in other areas, and yet you don't see how it translates to God. You say, I'm just not gifted in that way. But listen, that too is a lie. I sound pretty accusatory this morning, but I want you to understand the truth of how God sees you. I want you to say with me, repeat after me first, I've been created for ministry. Say it. I've been created for ministry. Even if you're watching and worshiping with nobody else in your house. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not just to look good. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. You were made for ministry. That's what good works means. Secondly, repeat after me, I've been saved for ministry. I've been saved for ministry. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, it is Jesus himself who saved us and chose us for his holy work. Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began. Since the ancient covenant, God's plan is that you were saved for ministry. Thirdly, repeat after me, I've been gifted for ministry. You're getting better at this. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's good works, holy works, serving others. That is who God has called us for, saved us for, gifted us for. Hey, a non-serving Christian is a contradiction. Let me say that again. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction. And your ministry involvement is the expression of your shape, S-H-A-P-E. Now, if you're joining us for the first time and you weren't here last week, you can go back and listen to this on Facebook or on YouTube because we dive into it a little bit more in a different way. Shape stands for spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches clearly God gifts each believer certain spiritual gifts to be used in building the body of Christ. The spiritual gift of wisdom, for example, of faith, of healing, of miracles, of prophecy, of discernment, the spiritual gift of language and tongues, the spiritual gift of encouragement, of administration, of giving in generous ways. It's a spiritual gift of helping and of serving and of teaching. God has given you a shape, and the S of you stands for your spiritual gifts. We're going to hear a little bit more about how we can help learn about those. Secondly is your heart or your passions. What are you passionate about as an expression of God's faithfulness? Your passions and mine will differ. We don't have to beat each other up for that. We can celebrate the diverse variety of how God has enabled us. S-H-A, spiritual gifts, heart, abilities. God has gifted you with unique natural abilities. We saw that in the disciple Matthew, the tax collector, who was good at record keeping. God gave him those gifts long before Jesus ever called him into a relationship with himself. And what a difference around the world it has made because of the Gospel of Matthew. Those are abilities. Don't ignore your unique natural abilities. And then P is your personality, how much variety there is there. And E is your experiences that are yours alone, your education, your vocation, your background, your spiritual experiences, even your painful experiences. Listen, God never wastes an experience. For you to live out your faith in the rest of 2020, and we need you to live out your faith. The world needs you to live out your faith. God is inviting you to live out your faith in 2020. You've got to know your shape. Our biggest problem is we don't see ourselves, let alone our shape, as good enough for God. You might say, well, even so, my contribution would be so small. And the giant problems of the world are so big. But you know what? Jesus sees you with his spirit eyes in a whole different way. God does not measure the way that the world measures things. To that point, I want you to listen to the words from Matthew. I'm going to tell the story rather than read it verbatim. From Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14, if you have your Bible with you. There was a great man, and he was going on a journey. And before he left on his journey, he called his employees together, and he entrusted his possessions to them. And he said, take these and use them. To one of his servants, he gave 5 talents. Now, basically, a talent is like a bag of pure gold. It's that valuable. It's not just being able to play the piano. But to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to a third he gave 1 talent, to each according to his or her ability. Then the master went away. Well, immediately the one who received the 5 talents went and traded them, and he made another 5. To the one with 2 talents, that person made another 2. But the man who received the 1 talent went and dug a hole and buried his master's money. Well, after a long time, the master returned. He came back and he came to settle accounts with these 3 servants. To the one with 5 talents who made 5 more, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will give you many more things. And then let's zero in on this next part. And here is the verbatim words starting in verse 22. To the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. Remember, that's a lot of money. Verse 23. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then Jesus says, the man who had the 1 talent, who buried it, came, and that guy upset the master so much that this guy with 1 talent, who buried it into the ground, who was afraid, was cast into the outer darkness. Whoa. You know, one of the things about Jesus, if Jesus is not surprising you anymore, you need to check your pulse. You need to check your faith. You need to check your understanding. Jesus always surprises me. It wasn't like this guy killed somebody or robbed a bank. But it's like Jesus is saying, what you're doing or not doing is that serious. I want to look into this parable a little bit more, and I hope you brought a pen or can run grab one. Because there's a lot of truths about God and about our lives that I want us to understand. Let's look into the parable. The master represents God. And the master gives each person talents to do something with. And a talent is actually a whole lot of money, like 20 years worth of wages. So all the talents in the parable are obviously the master's. They belong to the master. They're not the servants that they earned somehow themselves. And all that we have, Jesus is saying, we must trace back to God. Jesus is teaching us about God and about ourselves. So the first thing, Jesus is saying in your shape, in your gifts, in your talents, your resources, they are way more valuable than you realize. You have no idea how intricately God has crafted you. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more valuable than you realize, even if you feel like, well, I think I'm the one or the two, not the five, when it comes to talents. Personally, I like the guy with two talents. He didn't have as much to work with, and some of us can relate to that. Chances are you may be feeling bad about yourself, or your talents don't line up in any kind of a good way for helping God, let alone other people, let alone getting your own act together. You may be feeling bad about yourself right now because you think that you don't have much to offer. But chances are that's because you've been looking too hard at other people and what they're doing. And you're wondering, when am I going to get my act together? A second truth of Jesus is that God has shaped some people with just two talents, some with one, some with five. This is really important because we try to talk today in our society as though God makes no differences at all. And we need to understand God has shaped different people differently. If you're successful, you tend to think everybody else should be just as industrious, just as organized, just as persevering, just as creative as you. But the comparison game is a trap. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you lived the rest of it never comparing yourself with anyone else again? It's a lose-lose situation, the comparison game is. So I can celebrate your successes. I don't have to be envious. I can say, thank you, God, for giving Jeremy that gift. Thank you, God, for giving Mike that gift. Thank you, God, for giving Joy those gifts, because you sure didn't give them to me, and I praise you that somebody's got them. That's what Jesus is inviting us to. We call some people lazy because they don't seem to make as much a difference in the world. Well, maybe they have two talents, and yet we judge them non-essential. It's kind of the word of the day, isn't it? But God may be saying to them one day, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with what I've given you. Don't judge. If God made you an earthworm, God's design is not for you to go through your life wishing that you were some kind of giant snake or python. God's desire for your life is not to go moaning about much of anything because God didn't make you something else. Or it's like a fish wanting to be a bird. It sounds so silly, but that's how real the problem is. 1 Corinthians 12 says a foot wanting to be a hand in the body of Christ is lame. We need the foot to be the foot. We need the foot. We need every pinky, every toe, every ligament, all connecting us together. God is God, and God is sovereign, and God has shaped some of us with two talents, and some of us with one talent, some of us with five. Thirdly, stop comparing and moaning and doing nothing. Funny that we want to be in charge over our lives, but we don't want to give God that privilege over the world, do we? We complain about God when God acts that way, even the whole time we're wanting to be in charge of our own lives, in charge in a sovereign way. God gives you five or two or one. Whatever God has entrusted you with, bloom where you are. Shine, serve, move, and most of all, point people to God. You know, I've heard the best definition of youth ministry was this. You gather a bunch of kids. A guy did it with stick figures. And you say, kids, kids, you looking at me? You looking at me? And when all the kids are looking at you, you duck because you're standing in front of the cross. That's what youth ministry is. That's what our lives are. Hey, I've been given this shape. I've been given these gifts. Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? And then you duck and you point. So they don't see you, they see God. That's who we are called to be. Fourthly, our Creator loves variety. 5, 2, 1. Learn to love the sense of humor of God. You know, it cracks me up that God made everything beautiful and so full of variety. And it's not all about me. And it's not all even. And it's okay. It's of God. Heaven is not going to be dull, not going to be plain or uniform. Which, you know, as you look at everything that points people to heaven, it seems like it's all uniform and the same and really boring. There is nothing in Jesus' teaching about heaven that leads us to think that. Heaven is going to be so vivid, so beautiful, it would hurt our natural eyes. We need spiritual eyes to see the riches that God has for us. Heaven is not going to be dull or plain, but the richest variety and uniqueness, because our Creator God, God our Father, loves variety. So don't wish you were somebody else. Fifthly, God shaped you, and two talents may just be right. Two talents may be just right. God gives to some people just a few talents because God has plans for small spaces that a five-talent-shaped person could never fit into. A big fish could never fit into a tiny pond. So a tiny fish is needed to find it and fill it. Maybe that's you. There's someone who needs your gift that's not going to bowl them over. Someone who needs your generosity. Someone who needs your talent, needs your shape to tell them about Jesus, because you're the one who's the right size for them to receive it. This church needs people like this. This town needs people to fit into every sized need, who are pointing people to Jesus by the expression of their shape, their ministry, the talents that God has entrusted them to. From big things to small, the beauty of God is you. You're the exact one to reach your home, your family, a neighbor, your coworker, in a way that someone living large never could. Another thing, God's greatness is seen in two. God gives some of us just two because God displays the greatness of His grace in two more so than He does in five. Let me explain. If we are so talented, people may not see past us to God, the one who deserves the admiration. Sort of like Gideon's army. Started out at 32,000 and God whittled it down to 300. An amazing story in the book of Judges. And he whittled it down to 300, he said, so that God gets the glory. Here's my question. If you're a parent with kids or a grandparent with young kids, do your kids give God credit when they do something great? Wow, look what God let me do. Or do they kind of try to grab it for themselves? If we can get our kids, if we can get ourselves to say, look at what God has blessed us with. Look what God let me do. From big things to little tiny things, God gets the glory. And if your kids can do that, it will transform them. It will transform their lives. God's grace doesn't take that away from them. It builds them up to give God the credit. Ministry is like that. Generosity is like that. Generosity doesn't just mean some great big gift. Not that we would turn down some great big gift for our church, that God would enable us to reach more people. But generosity doesn't just mean big givers and big gifts and five talent people. It means many little things, many little pieces, many little shapes, day by day, giving and faithful in generous living. You know, a beautiful mosaic is made up of tiny pieces of glass, and those tiny pieces of glass, they're broken pieces of glass. The church is made up of people, big, small, 5, 2, 1, all of whom are broken. And it is through those tiny broken pieces of glass that God creates beautiful, beautiful art. That's what's going to change the world. And that's where we come in, church. It's not a guilt thing that God is saying, oh, you've got the shape, you've got to use it. It's not a voluntold thing that God is saying from Jesus to us as we read in the parable of the talents. God says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Maybe you've heard that one before, but what's funny about it is the word for cheerful in Greek literally means gut-wrenching hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Because we know, and because Jesus showed us, it's all God's anyway. The Master gave it to us to tend our finances, our generosity, our families, our responsibilities, our talents, our weakness, our strength, my shape and yours. But Jesus reminds us, even a few talents, even just a couple things, even when we consider ourselves small in this realm, even a few talents must be accounted for. Just because you're a two or a one, your insignificance, as the world would call it, doesn't excuse you from living for Christ. That's the first step to that outer darkness thing. Yeesh. You know, I like Marvel superheroes. My first comic book was Fantastic Four 150 back in 1974. One of the greatest quotes of all time in all the Marvel comics, though, is from the very first issue of Spider-Man. And it's been in the movies. With great power comes great responsibility. With great shape comes great responsibility. But Jesus rephrases that. He says, not just with great power, but with small power comes great responsibility. It wasn't just the person with five talents that was being held responsible and morally in touch with God. It was the one with five and two and one. This week in your life, what will you do? Because Jesus is showing us in the kingdom of heaven, it's personal. This message is not just a message about diamonds and talents and generosity and shapes. This week in your life, in the kingdom of God, Jesus is showing us the kingdom of God is personal. It wasn't like the master returned from his journey and said, all of you, what you got? No, he settled accounts, each one. It is personal. Your gifts, your talents, your stewardship of finances, your stewardship of your time. To God, it's personal. This week, you're going to be given an opportunity by God, and I don't know what it is, but I just know daily God is going to be opening your eyes in such a way that your shape can point someone else to Jesus. God is specific. 5, 2, 1. And it was between each servant, each one of us. And here's the thing. Jesus is saying good news. No matter what the rest of the world says, in my kingdom, you've been given something to do. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and it is in Jesus. There is something you will be and something you can do and something you will know, but will never be or know apart from Him. As you're considering your shape like the man with two talents, God's not asking for something you don't have. God just wants to say, with what you do have, will you or offer that to God? In the kingdom of heaven, God's blessings are not in accordance with the number of talents we have, but in accordance with our faithfulness in using them. One more thing, a talent. In Jesus' parable, even just one talent, that was 20 years of wages. So say you made $50,000 a year. That means even one talent is worth $1 million. Like a diamond. That's how precious you are. How valuable you are and your shape is to God. Well, we have in our adult discipleship offerings an opportunity of understanding more our shape. And if you are interested in taking your next step, Tim's got a way for us to do that.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. You know, about a year ago, Matt, you introduced a survey to the church. It was a one-page survey, front and back. You had it in a sermon. And about 100, or well over 100 of us have completed that, including all the new members of the last year. And what you didn't know at the time is this was based upon shape. So the questions on this form relate to spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experience. And over the last year, we've been building this database on our very good computer database system here at church. And so, for example, if Pastor Tom has a need in helping hands for a building project for seniors, he can do a query across the database and say, who has a spiritual gift for service? And they have a heart for building, and they have experience in building or construction. We can do a query across that and come up with half a dozen names for Tom rather than do an all-church email and find out who's got interest. We can connect your heart and your interests and abilities with ministry opportunities, and that's really the goal, to find those opportunities. And so we're submitting this to you again today. If you haven't yet completed this, you can do that. And there's three ways. You can pick up the hard copy paper here at the church office, or you can go to the Dexter UMC website and follow my pathway here down. Go to what's called My Church. The top tab on the right is My Church. And then Church Forms. And there are three kinds of church forms, and you're looking for community forms. And in that, the first tab is a downloadable copy of this PDF. And the second tab is actually you can do it online. A little more steps, but you can do it. So three ways to do that. And if you would complete that today or this week, then we'd add that to the database and match opportunities as they come up with your heart.
Would you do that today or this week? And then look for the way to serve. Let us pray. Almighty God, forgive us that we treat ourselves and we see ourselves as so much less than you do. Line our eyes up with yours. Line our talents up with yours. Line our generosity up with you, Lord. God, some of us have never put our faith in you, and we ask that you would enable us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.